Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 3 from Canto 5, Chapter 12. Rahugana converses with Jad Bharata. Tasmat bhavantam mama sankshayartam.
Tasmat bhavantam mama sankshayartam.
Prakshyami paschad aduna subodham.
Prakshyami paschad aduna subodham.
Adhyatma yoga kratitam tavoktam.
Adhyatma yoga kratitam tavoktam.
Akyahi kautu hala chetasome. Tasmad bhavantam mama sankshayartam. Prakshyami paschad aduna subodham. Adhyatma yoga kratitam tavoktam. Akyahi kautu hala chetasome. Tasmad, therefore, bhavantam, to you, mama, of me, sankshaya artam, the subject matter that is not clear to me, prakshami, I shall submit, paschad, afterwards, adhuna, now, Subodham, so that it can be clearly understood. Adhyatma yoga of mystic instruction for self-realization. Gratitam as composed. Tava your. Yuktam speech. Akyahi, please explain again. Kautu halachetasa, whose mind is very inquisitive to understand the mystery of such statements. Me to me. Translation, whatever doubts I have about a particular subject matter I shall ask you about later. For the time being, these mysterious yoga instructions you have given me for self-realization appear very difficult to understand. Please, repeat them in a simple way so that I can understand them. My mind is very inquisitive and I want to understand this clearly. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Vedic literature instructs Tasmad Guru Papadyeta Jigyaso Shreya Uttama. An intelligent man must be very inquisitive to know the transcendental science deeply. Therefore, one must approach a guru, a spiritual master. Although Jad Bharata explained everything to Maharaj Rahugana, it appears that his intelligence was not perfect enough to understand clearly. He therefore requested a further explanation, as is stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Tadviti pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. The student must approach a spiritual master and surrender unto him fully. Pranipatena. He must also question him in order to understand his instructions. Pariprashnena. One should not only surrender to the spiritual master, but also render loving service unto him. Sevaya. So that the spiritual master be pleased with the student and explain the transcendental subject matter more clearly. Final sentence. A challenging spirit before the spiritual master should be avoided if one is at all interested in learning the Vedic instructions in depth. So, the verse starts with tasmat, which means therefore. So it's continuing from the previous two verses. And it's a summary or a conclusion of previous things. This verse mirrors, is the Bhagavatam version of the 434 Bhagavad Gita. All the elements in 434 Bhagavad Gita are in this verse, or including the previous two verses. Prabhupada takes the time to go through the three primary elements of 434, Pranipat, Prashna, and Sevaya. So Pranipat is what he did in the previous two, with expressions of humility and recognizing the superlative, the exalted position of Jadbharata, just by hearing from him. Although he couldn't understand everything that he said, one thing he was very clear, his position is most elevated. So there's the pranipat part, submission. Then comes the prashna part, which is here. Prashna part, in the last line, kautuhala chetasa, inquisitive to understand. So prashna, behind, what's behind prashna is a mood of inquisitiveness. Very basic and essential for spiritual progress is I want to know. I speak like this all the time with new people and college students and stuff like that. What's required is not blind acceptance, blind following. That's not what faith is. Faith is, I want to know that there's a higher reality. I know that there's a higher reality. What that higher reality is, it's not clear to me, but I know one thing, I want to know. So that kind of faith, the initial faith, and that initial faith is appropriately reposed upon someone who you feel is worthy of your faith. That, you know, that they can give an explanation, therefore this pranipat. And that should also not be blind. Certainly should not be blind. But with due consideration about the source. So Rahugana doesn't have, we heard very explicit about the source. Jadbharata is up there. He's the qualified person to teach him. Supposing someone doesn't know that, like, you know, a new person, then their prashna, or their inquisitiveness, their questions, behind the questions, the inquisitiveness is, one thing for sure I'd like to know. I mean, a nice example of that is this elderly American lady that's coming around because of Lal Gopal's work at the Hindu Center. She doesn't exactly know much of anything. And she knows she doesn't know much of anything. I mean, her question last night is, who am I? I know I'm not that, and I know I'm not this, you know, so what am I? So it's just blank slate, using Prabhupada's expression. When Sanatana Goswami, Prabhupada liked to narrate this, when Sanatana Goswami came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's way up here, he's from an exalted Brahmana family and highly learned and the prime minister of one third of the country of India at the time, you know, big tract of land, spoke seven languages, revered by everybody, and he was, you know, highly intelligent. But I don't know who I am. I'm such a fool. When people say, oh, you're highly learned, I go, yeah, I'm highly learned. I'm such a fool. Proof, I don't even know who I am. So, blank slate. Who am I? Not, what do you think about this one? Hey, I heard that one. That's, it's not blind. It's the inquisitiveness to know. I want to know. Etc. There is a higher reality. What is it? Some people say this, some people say that. Some of them say, you know, the other people are wrong and we're right, and everyone says that one. So, how do I know who's right? I want to know. How do I know? How do I know? And what is it that I need to know? The inquisitive spirit, Jigyasu Shrey Uttama, which is exactly the reference in the first line of the purport. Jigyasu is inquisitiveness. It's the same as prashna. So behind the question, there's an inquisitiveness. In other words, not just trivia. Hey, you know, curiosity. Hey. I get this all the time. We're traveling, you know, dhoti, and what are your, you know, you're part of some religion. What is it? And then tell me in summary what your beliefs are. Okay, blah blah blah. Oh, okay, great. You know, did you hear about the football game? Who won the World Series? And you know, it's just a curiosity item. They don't really want to know. They don't really want to know. It's just, you know, curiosity. Not because they want to know. It's just information, another piece of information. Life is a blur of information. They don't really want to know. So, but it's a beginning. It's curious. And this is for people that really want to know. Jigyasu is inquisitive about Jigyasu Shreya Uttama. Shreya Uttama. Uttama is topmost, and Shreya is long-term benefit. That, you know, what's the goal of life? Ultimate goal of life, not like, was at a program in Phoenix, and this one little girl was really attentive. I was surprised. Anyway, she just sat there, eyes open, listening. She wasn't fidgeting, and you know, that's unusual for a young child. So when we're all done, I just turned to her and I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said, pediatrician. You know, like 5-6 year old girl. I want to be a pediatrician. She's thought it all through. Pediatrician. So, okay. Then, may you become a pediatrician that always remembers Krishna. She said, yeah, that's really what I want. I want to always remember Krishna. I want to be a pediatrician. So put the two together. So wanting to know, you know, what's your future going to be, there's this, what happens after this lifetime? And what, you know, what's it all about? You know, they have Broadway shows about it, you know. What's it all about? But when you really want to, so Jigyasa Shrey Uttama, the same Jigyasa is in the Vedanta Sutra, the first aphorisms. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, same word. Now that they have the human form of life, one should be inquisitive, Jigyasa, about Brahman. Well, what's Brahman? What is it? I want to know. So, Maharaj Rahugana has that. The words in this verse are Kautu Hala Chetasa. Chetasa is consciousness. Kautu Hala Chetasa. My mind is very inquisitive to understand the mystery of such statements. And In the second line is Su Bodham. Bodham is, the root is Buddhi or intelligence, and Su Bodham. So that it can be clearly understood. I heard it. I understand it's up there, but I don't understand it, so I want, could you say it again? Like, you know, kind of dumb it down a little bit so I can understand clearly. Su Bodham. Not, you know, dumb it down. But, you know, put in language that makes it really accessible for my dullness. Essentially what he's saying. It's just part of the inquisitiveness. Say it again and say it again and say it again. Prabhupada explained, repetition is sometimes necessary for clear understanding. As we know, there are things that Prabhupada said again and again, so that there's a flag. It's really important. Because he's saying it again and again. It's really important. And because it's really important, and he's saying it again and again, it probably means, almost for certain it means, whatever I think I've understood, I haven't properly understood it. And so it's again and again. So it's something like a visual image for me is the hub of a wheel that has many spokes, and you hear this angle, this perspective, hear it from this side, that side, the other side, and but at the center is the hub. Okay, so that's it. It's not just this perspective, that perspective. It's kind of like, very similar to understanding Prabhupada's conclusion on a particular topic. So one of the things that happens in the world, in the ISKCON world and outside the ISKCON world, is somebody takes a reference over here. Prabhupada said this. And then somebody takes a reference over there and Prabhupada said that. So there's the this group and then there's the that group, and they clash and saying it was this, it was that. Rather than like what's the intention or the essence message of our founder Acharya? Take big picture. We did this, it was a lovely exercise. The persons who led us through the exercise on Varnashram, exploring Varnashram. Because there's this and that. There's multiple of those things. What did Prabhupada? Oh, he said this. Oh, he said that. So what's the big picture? How do you understand that we have to be knowledgeable about the different things that he said and deeply inquisitive to understand what was his intention? What did he mean? The intention. It's not easy to discern intention. So then you have to hear again. You have to hear again because hearing again and again helps clear understanding, especially if there's not, you got your finger on the pan scale and you're just listening to what's over here and kind of dismissing the things over there. What was the intention? Because those things were also said. So what's the intention behind this collage of different things? I want to know. Su Bodham. I want to understand it clearly. That's necessary. So that's this Brahma Jigyasa, or Jigyasu Shreya Uttama in the first line, or Prashna. Here's what Prabhupada says again in the purport. Prashna, Pari Prashnena. He must question him, the spiritual master, in order to understand his instructions. And then Sevaya. He says different things than what is said here about Sevaya. Sevaya, here he's saying, and not only hear from him, but serve him. But certainly another rendering is, when you hear, you do. Not just, oh, that was nice. What's next? And in one ear and out the other ear, it doesn't go in. So Sevaya is, according to what you have heard, you bring it inside and you live it from the inside. That's certainly service. The other is also certainly service. The Mapu kind. Or the mission. Seated with us is one devotee who has dedicated his life to the mission that our founder Acharya gave of dissemination of transcendental literature through our book distribution programs. That was an intention. And so Sevaya is, there's the intention. Let me dedicate myself to that intention. It's his mission. It's his mood. It's his request. Let me do that. That's the Sevaya. And it's on the basis of that Sevaya, combined with the other two, the Prashna and Pranipat, that then at least through bhakti, in other words, there's the possibility to understand. We may not immediately understand, but we should try to understand, have an inquisitive spirit with submission and service. And the last thing the Prabhupada says, challenging spirit. And the challenging spirit in the Bhagavad Gita purport, it has to do with the nature of questioning. Questioning shouldn't be in a challenging spirit. Questioning should be in the spirit of I want to know. And if one doesn't understand, or one feels there's some contradiction over here, this was said, and over there that was said, the challenging spirit is guaranteed you're not going to understand, because it misses the first one, Pranipat. So Arjuna, he hears Krishna saying this and saying that, and he doesn't say, hey. He wants clarity. I want to understand without challenging spirit. And the reason, it's very clear, the reason that he didn't understand is he has a predisposition. He wanted something else. I'm out of here, off the battlefield and off to the forest and live in a cave and renounce my duty. He had a predisposition to do that. And he has reasons. You know, there's all this bad stuff that will happen if I do these things. So I went out of here. Please say it's okay. I want to be out of here. And because of that predisposition, Krishna had to say it three times. And he says it three times. Explicit question, explicit answer. Slightly different question. Same question. Slightly different language, but same question. Because we're like that too. But it wasn't in a challenging spirit. That's a major disqualifier. Major disqualifier. It's not like, you know, blindly accept. Oh, okay. But if you, supposing you don't understand clearly, what are you going to do? Do whatever is in your mind, which is maybe not what was intended. So seek clarity. Don't be obsessive about it, but seek clarity. One other thing. Oh, two other things. This phrase, beginning of the third line, Adhyatma Yoga. Adhyatma. That's an important word in the Vedic literature. Like Adhyatmaka Klesha, Adhibhautaka Klesha, Adhidaivaka Klesha. Adhyatma Yoga. The way the Prabhupada is translated to here is mystic instruction for self-realization. Mystic instruction for self-realization. And in the translation it's the instructions you have given for self-realization, Adhyatma Yoga. In his Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami illumines these three, Adhyatma, Adhidaiva, and Adhibhauta, in a very fascinating way. But in short, He's interested in self-realization. He's asking his questions for that reason. The instructions are given for that reason. He's explained, Jad Bharat has explained, basically you're Maya. But, you know, he didn't insult him too badly, but he just, you know, the thought process that you're using in contemplating yourself and your role in life is sorely mistaken. It's missing altogether the nature of the self. He did it, you know, it was cool. He did it nicely. But it's instructions for self-realization. It's from the previous two verses also. The beginning, the beginning of spiritual life, you can't go to square two until you've crossed square one, which is you're not the body, as Krishna does in Bhagavad Gita. And supposing one just keeps, you know, doesn't get it and keeps going. Okay, I'm not this body, but doesn't really get it. One isn't going to progress much. You're certainly not going to be in the detached mood of fruitive work, being detached from the fruits of work. If you're still thinking in terms of the body, you're going to think in terms of mine. I am this body, and what is produced by me is mine. It's dominoes. One, two. Very unavoidable sequence. Self-conception and the conception of mind. So one has to be strongly, say it three times, strongly, deeply, at least conceptually understanding, and then apply the concept of we're spirit soul. In Bhagavad Gita 2.41, Prabhupada's purport, twice in the purport, it's essential, the highest stage of self-realization, highest stage of the perfection of spiritual life is to go beyond the bodily conception of life. So, something similar to a discussion yesterday about being beyond the influence of material contamination, the place that Prahlad had gone to. You can't get into the, you know, like these phrases in the Bhagavatam. And then devotional service began. Like, what does that mean? So we're not doing devotional service yet. Well, devotional service in the pure sense, because devotion, bhakti, is pure. Anyabhilashata shunyam jnana karma janapatam. We're not there yet. Are we doing bhakti? We're in the cultivation stage. But the cultivation for what? The cultivation for bhakti, for pure bhakti, because bhakti is pure. So, we need to go beyond. The purpose of the earlier part, the Sankhya section of Bhagavad Gita, or the Sankhya section of Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti in the third canto, what's all of that? You know, the soul distinct from the covering of the soul. It's to allow us to go further in the path of bhakti up to the stage of Shuddha Bhakti. Not an end in it itself. It won't stick. It will again recede back to I am this body and the influences of the modes of nature and our previous karma. We've seen it. I've certainly seen it. But I saw it, you know, like really early. The first month I was living in a temple, I just saw somebody get hooked by the bungee cord and they were gone. And I thought they were way up there. And then I realized I don't have the capacity to understand what's up there. I better, you know, just get humble and try to stay with the bhakti process carefully, because any one of us can go at any moment without even some warning. So be very careful. So Advancement is dependent upon becoming freed from the bodily conception. The body means gross and subtle. I'm not the mind. I'm not the gross body, I'm not the mind. Well, what's left? The soul. Like the boatman that's rowing, but the anchor is still in the river. He can be laboring, rowing, but the boat isn't going to go anywhere if it's still anchored. We need, so this Adhyatma Yoga message. He wants clear understanding so that he can progress. Because he's obviously an elevated person. He has a lot of capacity to receive, but he's got his anchors down. And the Adhyatma Yoga message, I couldn't understand it. So please, more of this pure sound vibration. Because you give pure sound vibration, I need more purification to understand. And the last is this phrase, Sankshaya Artham. And the last word in the first line, Sankshaya Artham. Sankshaya means doubt, and artha means goal or benefit or gain. Sankshaya artham. So in the English language, commonly, sankshaya or doubt is kind of like bad. But in spiritual subject matters, it's not necessarily bad. It can be a springboard for going further. In Kapila Dev's instructions, for example, Kapila Dev's instructions to Devahuti, when he describes intelligence, it's one of the factors of intelligence is samshaya. It's intelligent. It's appropriate to have samshaya. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, when one has that lack of clarity with the intelligence about something, then there should be an inquiry, of course, to the right person. And then, if one continues to have that sankshaya, then that's not a sign of intelligence. It's a sign of stubbornness or, lack of intelligence. Because if you really want to know, and that inquisitiveness is there, I really want to know, and then here it is. Here's illumination. Here's light. Well, I'm just seeing darkness. It's not, so that's not a sign of intelligence. But sankshaya artham, the subject matter that is not clear to me. So that's fine. It's good. It's not something to be embarrassed about. Somebody came after class yesterday and said, on this topic of fear, I was afraid to ask a question because I might look stupid or something. But it was a good question. And sankshaya artham is a sign of intelligence. Now, what for one person is clear to understand and another person isn't, another topic, it's vice versa. For that, it can be just the opposite. So there's no harm, there's no embarrassment, there's no difficulty. Ask. The answer might be, I don't know. Or it might be, something that's very clear. Anyway. Back to the beginning, this verse mirrors 434 Bhagavad Gita. That's how Prabhupada presents it in the purport. It's imperative that one has a teacher if you want to know. If you don't want to know, you don't need a teacher. And in other words, in that 434 purport, is, you know, the rubber stamp person, the other guy's got a guru, so I think I'll go and get a guru. Like the other kid has a skateboard or a hula hoop, so I'll go get a skateboard or hula hoop, so I'm fashionable. That's useless. These elements that are within 434 and this one are what makes up the relationship proper. And then one can hear. One can go beyond the lack of clarity to clarity, or from samshaya to clarity. So any discussion? Krishna, Krishna. Yeah.
Can you wait for me?
Hello. I was just contemplating we receive a lot of knowledge and instructions from the Guru. So when we're trying to apply that in the application part, especially for me, what happens is like, each one of us have our natural way of behavior or the tendency.
Sure.
Or the emotions, like,
sure.
It is like, no, for me especially, I kind of in assessing myself, and every time it always, I have like little fear, little anxiety, little something, like all mixed together sometimes to carry out that, like the natural thing comes out first. So I want to be like, come out of it and be, normal, cool, and carry out that with a clear understanding that I know that this Krishna is there to help, and all that knowledge I have, but still I always get that type of emotions and to do in all the process. So I just want to know how I can avoid it. I'm trying to do that, but I couldn't able to do that.
I got it. Rupa Goswami addresses this in one way, utsaha nishchaya dhairyat. Enthusiasm is the first part, but that there's this emotion or apprehension or self-doubt or the conditioning factor. So remain patient. It's going to take some time to get that stuff cleared. It's in the mind. It's stuff in the mind. But I'm going to remain enthusiastic, and I'm going to continue to be patient, because I'm convinced, I have deep confidence, dhairyat, in the process. And supposing somebody has a disease and they go to the doctor and says, I've got this disease. And they diagnose and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, here's the medicine. So the patient should not think tomorrow the disease is gone. Even with allopathy, it may cover the symptoms, but it's not going to take away the disease. So we have to be patient. But what keeps us going with the patients is we're convinced. Deep conviction. However long it takes, medicine's good. Diagnosis is right, medicine's good. I'm ready. I'm going to keep applying this medicine method and diet and so forth, and I remain patient while I stay enthusiastic. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, preamble. So the context of our scriptures, it's there's conversations between the guru and the disciple.
Mm.
In our modern context, we tend to have technology that's assisting the relationship.
Yes.
So the question is, sometimes I find myself when hearing, having doubt and wishing to ask questions, and then what I usually resort to is, not usually, but sometimes, go back and hear again and hear it again and hear again.
Good.
So the question is it equivalent?
Yes.
to asking, like
yes.
what he's doing.
Yes.
Because Krishna is there to help.
Yes. Well, you know, take the example of Prabhupada disciples, and Prabhupada's not there to go and ask. What do you do? Punt? Go back and hear. And you associate with those who have clarity from their long duration of hearing and applying. So you seek clarity. You know, I'm my sense is such and such. Can you, do I have it right? So we go to those who are elevated and qualified for verification. Association, sadhu sangha. Yeah, that seems like the right approach. You usually have something, nothing?
Sure.
Okay.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Krishna is the enjoyer and we are the enjoyed. How can we become most enjoyable to Krishna?
Well, what does Krishna say? What's pleasing to him? Look at the end of the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and you'll find Krishna says, Shravan, you have something?
I kind of missed the beginning of the class. Regarding this Seva Maharaj, to me it began with assisting personally as a servant. That's how I had an impression in my mind as a Seva. But today you kind of expressed serving the teachings internally also as a Seva.
Other than like Chakri, you know, carrying out the service of book distribution, and you know, I never had the direct personal go and do this and that and the other thing. It's always been the other, 100%. And that's Seva, and it's the same still today, so many years later. When physical presence was there and after physical departure. So, are you okay?
Yes,
you got this pondering expression.
I'll hear the lecture back again.
You're okay. Anything else? Yeah? Why not?
I was thinking in today's like cyber world, we have so much opportunity. You can go and hear, you know, any topic from any devotee, and it seems like traditionally the spiritual master would impart knowledge which the disciple was qualified to hear and assimilate.
Yes.
So how should we
be discriminating? Yeah, there, one primary source should be the source that one hears from, and if there's other things that one hears, it's evaluated through the lens of that primary source. Mm-hmm. I mean, during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they didn't have, you know, internet. They didn't have digital recordings of different people. But there were different people, and the devotees would hear from different people. So there's an etiquette. Narahari, you know, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, right, from our Gaura Arti song, Narahari. He wrote a book, Krishna Bhajanamrita, and he expresses this etiquette in Bengali, translated into English, that says, if you hear from other sources, you go back to that primary source and seek verification. If you hear something that's not consistent. And, you know, in general, we have some idea of, you know, certain speakers have standard instructions and some others go to other things and other things. So we should hear from those, if we hear from others, we should hear from those that are similar to the primary person that we hear from. If you have any question, you can ask the primary person that you hear from. Is it okay to hear from so-and-so? That's our standard. Now, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not even just internet, just, you know, stay in a temple or be in a community, and different speakers come. And as you pointed out, different speakers will have emphasis on different things. It's not uncommon, not like all the time, but it's not uncommon for me to get a, you know, some message saying, somebody or other visited our center and they said something that didn't sound right. But, you know, they were saying it in an absolute way, da-da-da-da. And you know, don't do da-da-da-da, do something else. Didn't sound right. It's gonna happen just being in a community. So it's, the etiquette is still there. Okay. Clear? Yes.
I actually have three questions going on.
Oh.
Which there's time for. You were saying that until we have the conception that I'm not this body, you know, assimilated, it's tough to make progress.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know,
doesn't mean zero. So it's proportionate to. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, you know, looking at myself after all these years, I mean, how much have I really assimilated that concept? So, yeah, you know, the processes just continue with, you know, the hearing and the chanting.
Yeah. You have to work with what you have. With enthusiasm and patience and confidence. Next question.
When you were speaking about...
It's a different voice of what she said, but it's a similar question. Similar. Different, but similar. Go ahead.
You were saying that Arjuna had a predisposition. And so he asked three times. You know,
yeah.
He asked Krishna to repeat three times.
You want to know what those three are?
No, Guru Maharaj. And then you said that, but the reason he was able to go beyond those predispositions is because he didn't have a challenging spirit.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all have our predispositions.
Of course.
And
absolutely.
I don't want to get stuck in my predispositions. I really want to move beyond them.
Yeah, but. You got them. It's just natural. And so don't beat yourself up because you got them, but don't hold on to them either. So, there's the method. Continue to hear, you know, same, three. And we had this nice exercise in Naperville. There was some series of days of classes all on a similar topic. So we had this, I invited the persons who are attending all the classes to do this little exercise. You know, what are some, pick one, two, and maximum three areas of self-improvement, and then consult with somebody, and then you'll be accountable to somebody for that, working on the next 30 days, that self-improvement thing. And then the blind spots. We don't know what our blind spots are because they're blind spots. So somebody that you feel is trustworthy can be a friend, or can be somebody or somebody, your spouse or, you know, your children or, you know, anybody. Somebody who's trustworthy. And tell me what my blind spots are. You know, not too many, please, but, you know, one that I may be able to work on. And, you know, anyway, and that we, so it was a nice exercise. So these things that are where we're stuck in our conceptions, other than, you know, that which is going to lead to progression, our predisposition ones, it's, you know, it's feedback on our blind spots is really good. And it's a little more difficult to accept them. And if it's difficult to accept them, it's difficult to act on them. But they're really important. They're anchors. You know, so it takes somebody that's a little brave. And, you know, they really want to know. Anyway, it's not easy. But spiritual life isn't for people who are lazy. It's for people who are going to apply themselves. And we slacken in that, you know, that the danger is slackening in that, then we go back. That's not fun. And when we go back, we don't even know we're going back, because, you know, it's just habitual. We're creatures of habit. So there has to be, I want to keep going forward. Otherwise, we'll go back. Prabhupada said that. Either progressing or regressing, there's no standing still. So there has to be willingness to go forward. And, you know, these assumptions, predisposition things, they're hard to let go of. Hard to identify and accept them and then let go of them. So, but spiritual life is for people who aren't lazy. Next.
You mentioned the Varnashrama, you know, seminar we had in Gitanagari.
Wasn't that an eye-opener?
Yes. Yeah. And made me really think, you know, because, like you said, different sides were presented. You know, there are many issues like that within ISKCON.
Yes.
Where,
yes,
we don't have a conclusion. We have, you know, we have presentations of Srila Prabhupada's intentions from both sides.
Yes.
And, you know, as a, you know, person in my generation looking at this current generation of Prabhupada disciples, you know, the time when we will not have that resource available anymore, it's fearful. It brings fear to consider who will we turn to for you know, conclusion on these issues that we don't have conclusions about. So, you know, is it just to be expected, and, you know, this is, or can we expect that we'll have some conclusions on some of these issues before things are turned?
Yeah, even in the present time frame, I could list a few of them, and there's confusion. You know, female Diksha Gurus, you know, there's one. And, you know, is there consensus? No way. And is there confusion? Definitely. And some people on this side and some people on that side. And take some other topics, we don't have to make a list. So, fearful? You know, just on the topic of yesterday evening, and maybe we'll get to it again this evening. Fear on there's confusion between this and that, and who do I go to sort out this and that? Which side? It's a responsibility. It's a responsibility of each person to have this exactly as Prabhupada says in the purport. This desire to go more deeply, to inquire into the intention of our founder Acharya on a subject. So that requires, you know, some work and a willingness to not have a predisposition on issues where there's differences of opinion. So I may be inclined at the moment towards there should be female Diksha Gurus, or maybe in the group that says there shouldn't be female Diksha Gurus, or maybe in the position that says I don't know. You know, whatever it is, I want to know the intention of our founder Acharya. You know, that I can just, so what's the intent? So The you have to become minimal two things: well versed in the body of literature that our founder Acharya gave on a topic, and a willingness to want to know his intention. And even when a little light goes on that says, aha, you know, I'm open to the idea of I didn't get it. So I'm open to a dialogue that says something. I'm going to end there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.